Listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Every Thursday night.
Ah, you know not everybody talking mama girl can't dance, she's mine.
7:30 till 9.
Do you have a friend you can talk to? Do you have a friend you can trust?
CKUW 95.9 FM.
What do I want? I want my fair share.
Adult kindergarten. Music for finger painting, playing the sandbox, or playing tunes for your grandma.
Listening to Engaged, a presentation of the UWSA, where your student union updates you on events, activities, and student issues.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Engaged with FM 95.9 CKUW. Today, we will be just continuing the conversation we were having about human rights in our last episode with Cass and Pilar from GCSAC, the students from Human Rights Major. Shout out to our amazing producers, Curie and Nishal. So let's dive into the topic of human rights again.
Good morning. Good morning.
Wanted to move forward because when we were talking about some of the changes this year, like we saw some groundbreaking developments in Manitoba that I really want to give credit for, like introduction of free birth control pills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this is amazing, like having that, because it's a necessity which should have been there in the first place.
Yeah, seriously. Thinking like on a human rights scale, I mean, women as peoples were only recognized as that. Like, what is it, 76 years ago?
Yeah,
I think it was like 1920,
not long
like
at all.
Not long. And what was crazy about that becoming free for us in Manitoba, I think it was like October 1st, it was the heat of like our neighbors in the States going through so many of their challenges with rights. Like, so yeah, it's been crazy to witness that. It feels like history and like the future happening all at once. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Yeah. I hate to be a pessimist about all this. I think it's great. It's such a big step forward, honestly, to have free birth control. I'll say the one thing that I think I'm a little bit critical about is that it isn't all birth control.
Yes.
Which I wasn't even aware of until I had a friend who was planning to get on birth control, and she was telling me how she was at, like, the pharmacy, and she was going to pick up whatever she was getting. It was a copper IUD she was getting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "Hey, that'll be $90."
What?
And she was like,
"Free 90?
Is it not free?"
Yeah.
And
they
basically were like, "Well, so copper IUDs are not hormonal, which is why it isn't counted as birth control."
Whoa.
Which I think does affect a lot of women and a lot of people because not everyone can take hormonal birth control or hormonal medications,
right? Yeah.
So that is something I think. I am curious. I need to do more research as to why it is, if there even is a reason right now why that isn't considered or isn't free. That's my one thing. However, again, I think it's great. Like,
yeah. But while we're on like critiquing, and that brought up so much wait time that exists, like even here on campus, I wanted to just go for like a drop in to see the nurse, it's a like 3 month wait, yes, bro. Like
that
even
does
here,
a lot.
That's crazy.
And just imagine few of the students, even domestic, international, both of them, like not having a family doctor, and specifically like students from different province having their own health plans that they don't want to actually shift. They don't want to pay double and get the Manitoba health plan.
Right.
And they are highly dependent on the nurse. Mm-hmm. And this is like an important issue that university should be looking into and university should be investing into, that how many students, like there are so many students, this would better the image of U of W. This would create a better environment for students.
Totally.
And I know that they're worried about student retention, looking at how the rate is going down.
Right.
So having that student retention starts with how the environment you're creating for students.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, at the end, all these students, when they graduate, they're going to think like, they're not going to think, okay, fine. Oh, I graduated from U of M. Oh, I graduated from U of D. Fine, U of D, okay. But then the first thing, when they have achieved all of those things that they wanted, the first thing that's going to come on their mind was how my university was with me. Did I, because if you talk about U of T, okay, U of T is a brand, but at the end, what students actually think about after graduating is how the school actually was, how supportive the school was.
Yeah.
And
true.
What are, like, you know, you feel proud when you're like, oh, my school had this, my university had that. And you feel proud about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's nice that this time students are vocal about some of the changes that should happen on campus.
I mean, we also now have free, like, sanitary products for...
True, that's been a game
in
changer.
In the women's, you know, washrooms. I'm not sure about the gender-neutral washrooms.
They're
in there
now,
as well?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
great.
The great part is that we have a gender-neutral changing room in Duckworth, which was an initiative started by one of the previous directors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is amazing. Like,
yes.
This is wonderful. You know, like, when you feel, like, a hope that this is the first step to change.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Long overdue, but again, just that, like, work and effort and patience.
Yeah.
It happens. It just takes time.
It's a very long time.
Coming back to the birth controls, I did want to talk about that, how some of the people don't prefer it because it's hormonal, like, especially the pills.
Yeah.
If I talk about my perspective, I would say I am resistant of taking any hormonal pills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, as a woman, you already are going through a cycle,
Please,
which is, like, changing every week. You're forced to put in different moods because of the hormonal change.
Totally.
LH level, estrogen level, so many levels. And then it's like, the research having that you should be productive during your ovulation time.
Oh, give me a break.
And then luteal phase, you're feeling this, you're feeling that. Okay, good researches. What about an alternative? What about something for the men? Sorry.
Literally.
But...
reversible solution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm thankful. I'm talking like I'm not grateful. I am grateful. At least something is there.
Of course.
But then again, this is like some of the barriers which have been there around for so many years that hasn't even looked up into. Most of the body researches are about men.
Yep. I was just gonna say and thinking, like, they don't know anything about women's bodies and hormones. Like, I think that the data that they've been able to see after many years of people who are using birth control, like, the deficiencies that exist within it and the ways that it changes us, or things that it's used for, like, it's such a Band-Aid solution for some people.
Exactly.
For acne, or, you know, for hormonal, for it not coming, or, like, I don't know. There's all kinds of things, and they just, like, slap it on, like, here's a solution.
You're
it's kind of... Mm-hmm. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's definitely an ongoing kind of, like, scientific study. But I am glad. I do feel like, I mean, compared to other countries, other neighboring countries, I think Canada's taking a step in the right direction for sure.
Looking at U.S. specifically. I actually feel bad. There have been so many cases of the mother dying because of not been able to, and it's our body. We should have the reproductive rights. It's our body which is gonna change. There has been so many researches about that pregnancy can even lead to death. Pregnancy can introduce diabetes. Pregnancy can cause lower back issues. There are so many things. I know that it doesn't go along with some of the religious values or cultural values, but then again, it's the body of the female who's gonna handle all those pressure.
It's so true. Uzoma said it best, that what happened with birth control here was reproductive justice.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That was a much needed thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do wonder about, I haven't been able to look into this, but do we know about kind of Canada's participation in helping out our neighbors down south if they can't?
Sure.
That's something to look into. I feel like that's interesting.
That's interesting.
You know, if we kind of are open to helping those who have no access or limited access to abortion clinics or services in their states, because it is state, it's state by state now in terms of whether abortion is legal, protected, illegal, protected, but almost can be unprotected. Like, it's such a, I was looking at a map on reproductiverights.org of the U.S., and so they have expanded access. So each state is either expanded access, protected, not protected, hostile, or illegal.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And so I was kind of looking into, like, so what does that mean? Because it's like, that's not an issue here. Like,
yes.
Like, there's so, like,
I wonder if they can take vacations to Canada for, you know, different trips.
So expanded access is, so abortion is completely accessible and protective. And as well, the state is then trying to enact additional laws to expand the access of abortion. Protected means it's legally protected and accessible. Not protected is that abortions are accessible. However, it's yet to be determined whether the state constitution will continue to protect the rights to abortion. So it's just like, they're like, it's like a limbo. It's
maybe.
Like, you can get an abortion now, but it's like, when it could, I mean, it could be like illegal soon, I don't know. Hostile means the state can enforce its total abortion ban.
Oh my god.
And abortion can remain accessible but without legal protection.
Oh my god
And then illegal,
one wrong procedure and you're up for dying.
Yeah, and then illegal is just like illegal. Like, you can
literally go to jail. And I think it's also, like, the person who does the procedure as well as the person who's receiving the procedure.
Yes.
It's like, that is just
crazy. That is inhumane.
Yeah, totally. Completely. So,
oh my god. I think I did a wonderful job in inviting the best guests, Cass and Pilar from GC SAC.
Go off forever about this.
It's just the, I never had to intervene in the conversation. I love passionate students. I love students who are passionate about the studies that they're doing, the issues around, and they are open to critiques. They're open to learn more. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that you, Pilar, you put up a question. I think this is a question that even we should do our homework about, look into it, and even for our listeners who are interested in knowing more, that they can do their own research about that.
There's so much out there, so much we can do, and so many like-minded people who are doing something about it.
Exactly. This also reminds me, I feel bad of critiquing every time, but then that is what we're here for.
Yeah,
so that,
exactly.
You know, that's how policies develop. That's how policies are renewed. You make changes, you modify changes, you make amendments. But if we look at Canada, I know Canada is doing some wonderful things, but at the same time, the healthcare, if we're talking about healthcare or abortion rights in US, there's also a lack, or there's also slowed down healthcare system in Canada.
In Canada, and I was reading somewhere that Manitoba is like actually the worst for wait times in Canada.
Oh my god. No wonder. Yeah. 7 hours for 7 hours wait time for emergency services. And even I think if I share my personal story, I'm still on a wait time for 3 months to get an ultrasound, which is crazy.
That is. 3 months is a long time.
I know.
And I wonder, I do wonder, like, what happens with a person who is waiting so long and it's like dire, like more or less? It's like they need to see someone. Like then, then what do you do? Like, what can you do? You just sit and wait, right? I mean, like,
if we talk about Manitoba, I think we can come up with some of the examples where we saw these this lack being super visible.
Yeah.
For example, the guy in St. Boniface, who went to St. Boniface, and he was not looked after because they smelled... I know that there is a drug and addiction crisis in Winnipeg as well, but that should not, like, doctors should not be making assumptions on
it. Of course.
And the guy was actually diabetic. So if you're, I think... if I'm right, medical people can correct me if I'm saying it wrong. But if your insulin level increases or decreases, I think for increases, it just gives, your mouth gives off a smell of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with that guy. It was, his mouth was smelling like alcohol and the doctor made an assumption that this is not emergency and he died in the waiting room, which is awful.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I don't even... like, it's just such, a, like, an unthinkable thing. Like, that's your whole job.
Yes.
You know? Like, whether or not... if someone came in smelling, reeking of alcohol, then aren't you still... wouldn't you still want to make sure that they leave okay? They leave, you know, sober or with the correct services or resources and support? Like, that's just... yeah, it's a hard thing, and it's a hard thing to, like, because you don't want to pin down the entirety of the, like, healthcare, like, workers or anything, right? But it's hard when, like, stuff like this is happening constantly.
Right.
Then what do we do? What is to be done for change then?
Yeah, it's like, I wonder if it's a combination of it being so bottlenecked in terms of, like, there's a lack of workers and nurses and doctors and availability, and could they be, I mean, burnt out and still working, and that, how would that affect the ways, and like don't even get started on some of the neglect that exists within our healthcare system.
Exactly. Like the discrimination.
Yeah. Like if we want to get into Indigenous rights and like what we're seeing in the healthcare system,
even everywhere, like healthcare, as well as when it comes to drug addiction and homelessness, it's like 90% of that population is Indigenous, which is crazy.
Yeah. Right.
Even with under the CFS care, I was reading an article, it's 90%, it's majority of Indigenous population. And this is crazy to me.
Yeah.
This that means that there is something wrong that is not being looked at.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah. It's something in the system. It's something in the system, and it needs to be checked out. It's been needing to be checked out, to be honest with you, but for some reason, I feel like that area is neglected the most, I think.
Even if government is trying to come up with policies, I think the best work is to actually go and talk to the community affected.
Yeah.
That's when you get the best, like, advices, the best things that you can come up to actually, like, put a change on it.
Right.
And that's, I think that is one part that I believe Canada is lacking.
Totally.
If you look at the doctors issue, that there are less doctors and nurses. I know that there is an ongoing issue of doctors going to US and working over there because of the wages. There's lack of wages.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're not talking to the students.
Yeah.
They're not talking to that particular population to come up with the solution. They think that this might be right, which is wrong. You should not be working like that. You should. It's almost like an unknown person or just an acquaintance of mine taking decision on my behalf.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And speaking of, you talked about workers kind of going to the States or the issue with that because wages are low. I think it is happening in Canada as well. At least I know, I'm more aware of this as like a Filipino person because a lot of Filipino nurses and healthcare workers are like pretty much shipped over here, or like will move here, you know, as migrant workers to work in the healthcare field and everything. And their wages are lower than like local, domestic.
Exactly. So this is a major human rights concern. Even if you look into the migrant workers on the farm, there was like a whole documentary about that, that when they were coming in COVID, how were their living conditions? And when somebody tried to speak out about that and ask for help because they cannot protest on their behalf because they're, again, they're not citizens.
Right.
They are migrant workers and they cannot put their job, their life at risk because this is like an earning source coming from a country where it's difficult to earn that much specifically. So it's just almost feels like exploitation.
Totally.
Yeah. And it happens.
Yeah.
Because as a migrant worker, you're so much more vulnerable to being taken advantage of because you're completely reliant on your employer for money.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're not a citizen here. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's...
Yeah, the living conditions were pretty crazy, and we don't have clean drinking water in Canada, so these issues are also being experienced because these migrant workers have no rights when they get here, but then even our own Indigenous peoples don't have their, you know, basic needs met.
Yeah.
So what's up, Canada?
What is up?
It's like all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're in crisis. We should introduce more policies.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. We forgot to actually do the real survey for the citizens to actually know what they need.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we should introduce this so that they can just cheer themselves up that at least we have this. It's like giving candy and then like taking all the good snacks out.
Yeah,
leaving crumbs.
Yeah,
being like, there you go.
Yeah. Like to appease everyone. It's like, okay, we're not falling for that anymore.
We can actually go on and on about this. There are so many topics.
Yeah.
And that is one of the reasons, listeners, you should be involved with GCSAT. How amazing they are.
Shameless plug.
Yeah.
I know we're coming to an end. I wanted, you know, thank you for shedding light on all these important issues, even though we weren't able to cover all. It would take us forever if we have to do that. Before we wrap up, I want to circle back to GCSAC and the amazing co-chairs I have here. Are there any upcoming projects or initiatives that you're excited about that you see that students should know about it?
Good cue.
Yeah. For now, I think with the term, you know, ending, we've kind of allowed, like, our members, like, everyone's, like, really busy.
Uh-huh.
So we don't have anything new up until, like, the new term. We have some plans for next term. We're kind of wanting more alumni, human rights alumni, to come and speak.
Wow.
See what they're doing. We have some connections with them, obviously. More fundraisers, more, you know, drives, and... volunteering. Because our group is so heavy with volunteering, we now also have connections with certain organizations who want us to come back volunteer with them. Again, just if you like keep up on Instagram, like we'll always be posting on there.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteer opportunities for literally anyone. You don't even have to be part of the group if you're interested in you know, attending those.
Yeah, join us. It's fun. It's great to be a part of it. And it exists. Like, I think there's so many human rights students that I've met along the years that have been like, I didn't even know there was a student group, so please come find us.
It's just like, it just goes well that how you kept the name not just limited to human rights major.
Yeah.
Because I think that the advocacy part is in all of us. That in some areas, so having that opportunity to be a part of, whether you are a neuroscience major, whether you are a UIC major, whether you are a psych major, whatever major, it's like an open opportunity to actually come together, do the volunteer work, do work for the betterment of your community, and then be involved.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Finally, what's one message that you'd like to leave to our listeners about human rights and how they can make a difference? It can be a question that you want to leave. It can be a message that you want to leave.
Oh my gosh.
That's a thinker.
That is a thinker. I think...
Okay, let me make it easier.
Okay.
Think about an emoji. when you are frustrated with the system, but then again, you know, you have to have the patience to work towards it.
I'm thinking about something that I learned recently, a term called glimmers. And while everything is like really hard and things are still happening and it feels heavy to look for the glimmers in life, which is the opposite of triggers, which are so easy to find, but to just keep that sense of hope alive, you know, how can you leave spaces better than you found them?
That reminds me, you know, that star emoji, like two star emoji.
Yeah.
The golden one.
Yes.
That reminds me of that.
That's what I was thinking
about. What about you, Pilar?
Emoji is hard.
Okay.
But I will say.
I can make up an emoji. You can share the message and then I can come up with an emoji.
You know what I kind of like? I don't think there's an emoji. Oh, I think there might be. You know, like the peace sign and not like the hand gesture, but the literal, like, we don't use that anymore, which is, we need to bring it back, guys.
Yeah, let's bring it back.
Like the circle with like the
little. Are we the 2000s, baby?
Yes, okay. I am. Of course.
Yeah,
I am.
Okay.
We need to bring it back. I think, honestly, we just need more patience with each other and just with, like, I mean, we talked about human rights reform. Like, that's what it, like, you need so much patience with the world, with each other, and just to be kind and aware that everyone's going through their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Yeah. I think that's just the most important. With human rights, I think that's the most, like, you have the rights to do what you want. As long as it's not, like, weird or mean or something. But you know what I'm saying? It's like... Yeah. Like, cool, you have your thing, I have mine. Let's, like, coexist and let's, you know, work together and whatnot.
Coexisting is the important part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I think of judicial system, I think of the Joker emoji.
The Joker emoji? Yeah. The clown emoji.
Yeah.
Clown, yeah. I should not be throwing a shoe.
You're like, just kidding.
Call it like it is. Kidding.
But... it was meaningful. This conversation was meaningful. I didn't realize that we actually, like, we're just having conversation and we went by. It just feels so like quick. We just started. It just went by so fast.
I could do this for another few hours, guys.
Thank you so much, Cass and Pilar, for joining us today and for all the incredible stories, all the incredible inputs that you had. And all the new messages that you've had to promote human rights. It's been an absolute pleasure having you guys on the show. This just reminds me of one of the strong statements that was made in one of my classes around community advocacy that I wanted to share with the listeners while ending the podcast, is every advocacy and policy change begins with strong, stable intervention, sustained over time.
Mm-hmm.
So the key words is strong, stable intervention, and sustained over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important if you want to bring change.
Totally.
So all the listeners, do check out their Instagram, GCSAC. They also have information on the website.
Yep.
If you type it on Google, you can also find their Instagram, also the website. That's it for this episode of Engage with FM 95.9. Don't forget to do check out our podcast on Spotify, and if you're listening to the radio, then woohoo, amazing. Share it with your friends, share this podcast information with your friends. Let's continue the conversation and take action to make a difference in our world. And if you have good topics, just reach out to your VPEA of UFW, and yes, we can have a podcast around that. So until next time, stay engaged and stay inspired. Bye-bye.
Good morning. Good morning.